kingly confidence, masculine mastery, fearless freedom. Welcome to the podcast that supports you to show up in the world as the unapologetic, unfuckwithable, free-loving king you were born to be. Join Masculine Mastery Coach Mark Usher on a journey to releasing conditioned stories of unnecessary stress, struggle, and shame, while unlocking unlimited levels of inner peace, power, and prosperity in every area of your life. Fearless freedom comes to you as you self-authorize your masterpiece life, knowing in your truth, you move with nothing to prove. You are enough. And now, Mark.
So today, in the Kings of Freedom podcast, Kings Around the World, we have this epic powerhouse of a topic, which is dealing with anger. And anger is such a universal issue, challenge. It can be an intense inner struggle, outer struggle for so many men around the world. It is a universal issue for, I would say, every man. Very few men at this point have got to the point of emotional mastery where they can have this healthy, beautiful, sacred expression of this natural, inherent emotion and be able to express it consciously in a safe manner, safe for themselves and safe for those around them, their family, their loved ones, in intimate relationships, relationships at work, etc., in such a manner that the communication is clean, is clear, and the boundary is set. We're going to be talking about the reasons of why anger is there. It's for setting boundaries. Before I jump into it, just to let you know, this is the first part, part one episode of two episodes. I have split this into two because effectively yesterday when I was just putting out my notes and what I was going to be bringing up and speaking to on the topic, it's just such a big topic and actually such an important topic because it's so hyper relevant to so many men. I really wanted to do a deep dive in this that was as comprehensive as possible, to really serve all of you in the most powerful and amazing way imaginable. To sort of just set a little bit of a structure on this, structure being the core, one of the core aspects of masculinity. Part one I'm going to be dealing with in the understanding the origins of anger issues. Then when you get this sort of emerging idea as to why anger issues have sort of formed for you and universally in men in general, then we're going to do a little bit of a deep dive into the two paths, sort of a caricature as all in all sort of teaching systems when we simplify into, oh, there's one of two paths. It's an oversimplification. Of course, there's a million different unique ways, yet there are sort of patterns that exist. So we're going to be talking about the two main patterns of how we can react to certain experiences as we were growing up, as a reaction to these, our boundaries being encroached on when we were younger. There's two distinct sort of patterns that we can choose. No right or wrong here. Morality to the side. Morality and deep inner work is a useless concept. This is, and I actually just want to speak to the essence of this podcast. The essence of this podcast, it's sort of like deep men's work. If you're in a men's group present with me, my approach, and I invite you into that sort of a container here. I know you can be driving your car, you could be going for a run, a walk, I don't know where you are, what you're doing as you're listening to this. But my invitation is to sort of experience this within the context, within a safe container of deep men's inner work, where it's a safe, secure, non-judgmental space where you can be. You know, at no point, you're not being judged. I actually, my practice here, my personal practice is to practice, my primary purpose is to practice ferocious self-love and acceptance. And from there, from myself, and within Kings of Freedom, the movement of men is just to practice this ferocious love and acceptance of other men in our environment. So it's within that context that I invite you in, because, you know, the topic of anger can stir up a lot of shame for us men in so many different ways, because when we don't actually express it in a conscious way, it can sort of cause, it can be quite destructive. You know, you might be in that position where for you, the uncontrollable, unpredictable nature of anger as it is expressed through you verbally, emotionally, that the charge can be so intense that it might be quite destructive for your relationships around you. So if that's sort of resonant with you, I really want to invite you into that safe, non-judgmental space. There's no right or wrong here. All is welcome. And this is a place where, you know, you can sort of just start investigating and start your healing process, or deepen your healing process in your inner investigation of how that shows up for you. So, just to kick off here, there's a quote from Mahatma Gandhi that I really, really love, and it sort of speaks to the core of the Kings of Freedom approach here. Quote is, "I have learned through bitter experience the one supreme lesson to conserve my anger. And as heat conserved is transmuted into energy, our anger controlled can be transmuted into a power that can move the world." Mahatma Gandhi. The key thing here is, well, first of all, Gandhi had bitter experience also. You know, so there's that human relevance. Every man has had his experience of anger, and he had his own bitter experience. So just opening up this, these arms of love, and just it's a universal experience within men. But he's not talking about anger suppressed. He's talking about anger controlled, can be transmuted into a power which can move the world. And Kings of Freedom were about inner change, but then extending that into outer change. So it's your anger controlled, your anger channeled, your anger consciously expressed becomes a power which we can move the world. And looking around the world, I mean, isn't it due time that we could channel this energy of anger to be able to move the world? Slowing down, and if I think into personal experiences with anger myself, there's one memory came up, and it speaks to the scintillating, intoxicating experience of what it is to allow anger just fucking ripple through you. I, as part of my reaction of interpretations and misinterpretations growing up to life around me, the persona that I took on was the sort of nice guy. Always friendly, never gave out about anybody else. Yeah, just a friend to the world. And when I look back, and this extended very much into my adult life until very recently, you know, I was suppressing anger. People would piss me off. I would experience what I can now look back and go, well, that was anger that I was experiencing. And I never set a boundary. And this example sort of typified at a younger age sort of the path I was on in my relationship with anger. There was this guy in secondary school, it was like in, I think it was first year, and we used to play five-a-side soccer. And I personally absolutely love five-a-side soccer. I was like a little fucking whiz at soccer. I was like one of these, just, I sort of likened myself to some, I should have been born in Brazil, you know, like, I mean, why the hell was I born in Ireland? Back then, I just thought it was like this Ronaldinho, zipping around, and I was super skillful, and I could zip in and out like between two or three guys and out the far side score a goal. So it was really my genius zone. It was an exhilarating expression of my competence, my capacity, etc., etc. But there was one guy who really, really, really irritated me. Like, he was not very skillful, and he was the guy that would just come in and sort of take the legs from under people, and sort of, he was sort of, I suppose, that aggressive energy about him, which I was very uncomfortable with. But there was sort of this tit for tat thing going on between us, and then one day I think I tipped it through his leg, ball nutmegged him through his legs. I was going out the far side. I had gotten past him. So the ball is well past him, I'm past him, and next thing he swings the legs and takes the feet from under me. Now I land smack down onto the hard wooden floor. And I'm slowing down now. Actually, the memory is coming back, and I can actually feel that sort of tension, that classic sort of anger-like tension even in me. I look back up, and there he is, laughing. Just laughing his head off, sort of looking at other people, like, sort of, like, look at what he's after doing. Now, I had been, what I have the language now, suppressing anger. You know, many things, like, he had done that, and he had been doing it to me over a period of time. Suppressing. I wasn't acting on that. I just sort of laugh and go along with the, you know, ha 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 ha. When on the inside I was like, I want to fucking rip your fucking head off. That was the energy. But this day was different. I think it was because I was in sports mode. I was in that, you know, just that competitive mode, whatever it was. Or maybe it's just that, I think it was like the metaphor I use, and I will use in going forward, is there's waves. And like, if you express in the first wave, you have some capacity to consciously channel that energy of anger. The second wave, if you don't express it there, you suppress it, then you meet the third wave, and then you the fourth wave, and then that anger builds up on a certain topic with a certain person or with a certain situation till it's a tsunami. And it's at that point that the lid just bursts open and it floods out. So the tsunami came. I stood up, leaped up, and just started marching towards him. And he's there laughing, and this memory just coming back to me. Like, I was 12, maybe, I think 12, max 13 years old. And I remember just going over to him and like, boom, just like banged him on the chest with my two hands. And all of a sudden, like, he knew, like, there was some energetic change within him. He sort of laughed, like he was in the hard man thing. He threatened by him. I was intimidated by this dude. I was frightened of him. He was more muscular at that point. He was sort of definitely had sort of more hormones bubbling through his system. He was more muscular. He worked in a farm at home, etc., etc. So I, outside of this moment, I was frightened of him. In this moment, fear was gone. Anger was rippling through me. Banged him on the chest, and his laughter sort of got a little bit crackly, and he looked at other people, and I just like banged him again. At this point, three of my friends came over, sort of, Mark, you know, settle down, it's okay. The teacher was stepping back. I had a glance over at the teacher at one point, and he had a smirk in his face. He knew what was going on, and he sort of knew, okay, this is sort of, boys are becoming men, and men are just going to sort this out their own way. But my friends, trying to settle me down, there was no settling me. And this is the intoxicating nature. I don't know if, just touching base with you, with some of your expressions of anger, have you noticed how just anger, it's almost intoxicating? It feels so empowering. It feels so powerful to let it just rip through you. Hence, it actually can be a major part of the issue of it when it repeatedly expresses like that. But at this point, I was fearless. It was like banging off the chest. It's like, I'm not taking shit anymore. Sort of, fuck you, like pushing him back. And my friends from the beginning, when they were verbally just saying to me, you know, just to calm down and like things are fine, they ended up holding me, So I have these three guys, two of which were quite big, trying to hold me back from this guy. And there I was. There was so much latent energy that was after being brought into expression that I was marching steadily forward with two and three guys trying to hold me back. At this point, and I'm seeing the vision in my head, this guy's face is white. Because all of a sudden he has realized, Jesus, Mark, this nice guy, ha ha ha, you know, no boundaries, I can do whatever the fuck I want with him. All of a sudden, I'm like a fucking beast. There's this beast energy that has come through me, and it's anger. So I end up just like getting over to the guy, set my energetic boundaries, and boom, never an issue again. And I don't say this to sort of go, hey, you know, that was a wonderful anger. It felt wonderful at the time, and you know, being a boy at that age, you know, whatever, is just learning about it. I set the fucking boundary. I wasn't going to be bullied ever again by that guy. So, you know, to a point, it served its purpose. However, you know, that was representative of a way of how I was expressing anger, which would be brought into my adult life, which was at the first wave, I wasn't expressing. At the second wave, not expressing. Third wave, fourth wave, fifth wave, sixth wave. I was waiting, not consciously, but it would just come to the tsunami when it just would force its way into expression. This would end up being quite ruinous and highly destructive within my intimate relationship and within my parenting, which, just to be open and honest with you, as always, you know, it's just in the last year, doing such a deep inner work as a man in my inner healing journey, my hero's journey, has brought a lot of grief to the surface for me. Realizing just how unsafe my family were feeling around me. And I consciously just drop in there for a moment, so just to feel that, you know, that grief. I remember I started doing work and I'll go on actually in episode 2, just to tread that in. I gave a summary of episode 1. Episode 2 is going to be a deep dive into the conscious expression of anger and how we can actually align our lifestyle to allow this energy flow through us in a very healthy way. There's going to be lots of super cool, amazing, empowering, powerful ideas that you can incorporate into your life that will not just help you channel this energy like it's an issue. This is about channeling your warrior energy, this healthy, amazing core masculine energy. So it's not just like it's within a holistic, beautiful whole life approach as a man. That's going to be episode 2. So yeah, just touching back in with that grief that was coming up. And it's just been in the last year, and like even recently, my kids, I started realizing that my eldest daughter, Anya, and well, more pronounced in herself because she's older, she's had more time for her nervous system to take on certain strategies and protective strategies around me. And the more emotionally connected within my own body I was becoming, the more sensitive I was to what was actually happening around me. And I just started realizing that Anya wasn't really expressing her feelings around me. She wasn't expressing what was going on. The conversation was always sort of a very superficial conversation, reporting back what she was reading in the book or in a cartoon or like sort of telling jokes and all lovely. But there was no depth to the conversation, and this honestly was irritating me. But it was irritating me because it was bringing on my inadequacy as a man. I wanted her to be able to share with me, but the grief came was as a result of my erratic, unconscious expression of anger that would sort of explode out in an irate manner at times. She'd learned to close up. And it's sort of part grief, part massive celebration as a man. You know, recently I've started asking all my family members for feedback, but on walks with Anya, I'd ask her, you know, like, what what am I doing well? You know, we start with what am I doing well, and then we talk about growth opportunities or things I can improve on. And she's like, oh, well, you're doing really well. You're just not grumpy anymore. You're not the grumpy dad. And she sort of have a laugh. But what she's like, I dug a bit deeper, and it's like, it was the angry outbursts that were really hurting her. And, you know, you could see sort of, I could see that there were sort of tears in her eyes that she was able to express this finally. So I lead with that to just say, you know, as always, I don't do this podcast and my coaching and all this from my perspective. The intention is not to put a facade out there that I have my shit sorted. Am I doing deep inner work? Yes. Will I continue to do so? Yes. Have I aligned my entire life around showing up powerfully and consciously? Yes. But, you know, does that mean I'm perfect? Far fucking from, you know. And yeah, I just want to lead with that. To keep this a real conversation. This is not, I'm not coming from a perspective that I'm here to do this episode to help you sort your anger issue, because this is your issue. No, this is a societal issue. This is a world issue, a global issue of the male community. And, you know, by having the conversation, starting the conversation, we can start individually and then collectively stepping into that power. The important thing here is to note, dropping in to the mechanism of anger. Well, first and foremost, anger is a beautiful emotion. It's a perfect emotion to express, to own, and to allow flow through you. There's no shame necessary. Any shame around anger is shame that has been projected on us by society. We'll go into the mechanisms of that. But just at its rudimentary, at its basic form, anger is the emotion that drives boundary setting. It's the natural response to a boundary infringement by somebody that just oversteps your emotional or physical boundaries. It's the thing that I call it the primal no. It's the emotional force that channels our primal no, which is like, no! Like me with that guy on the five-a-side football training ground. It's like, no, it's like you're not overstepping these boundaries ever again. No. Where we end up unwittingly forming, if I call them an issue, or we create this inner challenge and we end up suppressing, repressing our anger, is when we were growing up. I mean, think of a child. If you're a parent, you'll soon know. It's like, to call them the terrible twos, it can happen a bit before that. But, you know, it's like when, as kids, we form language. You know, one of the, when we learn the word no, the terrible twos caricatured can be like, by no, you know, I'm not eating that, no. And there's such a, there again, it's this intoxicating power. The power of the emotionally developing nervous system within our children, within us as children. And I invite you to more look at this just within your upbringing, within your experience as a child. You know, you started saying no. Now, wherein the issue can start rising is in so many, like vast majority of the situations growing up, you know, our parents, because their generation before was even probably more emotionally suppressed, repressed, and etc., etc., they didn't have maybe the tools to be able to consciously allow us develop in our unique, perfect expression, allow our express our genius in the world, to be able to emotionally be absolutely fine with us saying no and just developing a capacity to decide who we were, etc., etc. And because they had challenges, they had wounds growing up themselves. They were taught very little. If we were taught very little, our parents were taught less by society about emotions, about your right to, you know, unique personhood, etc., etc. So I speak to that. You know, in doing a deep dive on the origins of any issue, of any of our emotional, psychological challenges in our inner world as men, there can be a resistance of looking at our past, looking at our childhood, and a certain part of it, and I understand it, I experience that as well, which is almost like in honouring our dads, in honouring our parents or mother, we don't, some guys can feel like, well, I don't really want to go there. I don't want to criticize them. And it's almost like this defensive sort of, no, but like I had a good childhood. This is not about criticizing your parents. It's not about pointing the finger and shifting all the responsibility to somebody else. You know, at Kings of Freedom, we're at the core of our culture, and I know you as a powerful man, you understand this, that the only path to freedom is taking radical responsibility, extreme ownership of your 100% of what you're responsible for. Response able. You can't take a response for something that happened 30 years ago. You know, you can't relive that sort of, you can't literally go back there. You can't energetically, memories and trauma release, but like, forgetting that point, you know what I mean, on a practical level. But it's not to go back, it's not to undo the past in a way or criticize your parents. But it serves to drop in and marinate your nervous system, and that part of your nervous system is called the inner child, and just to acknowledge that there were certain experiences that you went through that were emotionally challenging. Not for you, the man, the powerful man creating in the world as you are now, you know, you're leading a life on, you know, as much on your terms now as is available to you. I'm not inviting you to access your rational mind of the adult you, the 25, 35, 40, 60-year-old you, which can rationalize, you know, and can sort of understand, oh, well, you know, I knew my dad was like that because, you know, I understand this. It's not that part. It's your inner child. It was not you, the 35, 40-year-old you that experienced that. It was the 2-year-old you, the 4-year-old, the 5, 6, 7-year-old. And the source of anger issues forms is when our no was not respected. Our no to when we were setting emotional and physical boundaries, we expressed our anger expressed verbally, but then emotionally, no, I don't like this. And, you know, unwittingly so many parents and so many parents, you know, from... It's predominantly for, like, it's from loving intentionality. Loving intentions. They're trying their best within the busyness and the chores, the responsibilities that were laid on their shoulders as they had their individual and collective, you know, challenge in dealing with life and marriage and the world and, you know, bringing up kids and paying off the house, etc., etc. And I'm sure at this point in your life, you understand what that is, you know, as the adult man that you are. So within the challenge that they were facing, they were trying to rear you as a person, as a boy into a man in the best way that was available to them. So often, through great intentions, parents can end up projecting their wishes, their desires onto the kid. Can start forming, oh, good boy, you get the good boy praise for when you do something that by their value system, by their judgment in that moment, makes you good. Doesn't really make you good, because a lot of times when you really pick that apart, you know, oh, good boy, because you're there playing quietly by yourself, not jumping about, running, shouting, climbing, and doing supposedly things that your parents could think are dangerous. It's not that you're a good boy sitting there quiet and peaceful. You're good by their interpretation just because they're trying to get work done. They're trying to watch a TV program. They're trying to have a conversation on the phone. They're just stressed after a day at work and to just feel the need for some peace and quiet. And you all of a sudden become a good boy. You know, and sometimes, so often, like we were told, oh, you know, like we're given out to for certain parts of our expression. And this is where our boundaries start being infringed upon, because the more we're told what we're not good for doing, we're told, oh, don't be shouting, don't be running, don't be pushing your brother. You know, you just could be that competitive part of your streak. Don't be doing X, Y, or Z, whatever. You're going to have your memories of what you were told not to do, what you were allowed to do and not allowed to do, and what triggered your parents. And we learn to sort of take on this feeling of, well, I can't actually be fully myself. I'm not allowed to sing and shout and dance and express my full masculine warrior energy by this, like, in an exuberant, full expression of your confidence to, you know, climb and be adventurous. And but if you had that, like, I'm happy for you. But so often, you know, within the challenges of what our parents were going through, they weren't in a position to be able to afford us that sort of a luxury. And we learn subconsciously that, you know, I'm only welcome within this tribe when I sort of fit within a certain set amount, you know, a certain set of approved behaviors. And here's the thing. I don't know if this hits home for you. Sometimes the experience can be that the set criteria of what's approved and not approved can change from day to day, depending on the humor of your dad, your mother, your stepdad, whoever it was. And so often, you know, it's men, it's the father-son lineage. It's the mother-daughter lineage for women predominantly. Not exclusively. You can have had certain modeling from a mother, a stepmother, etc., in that can have caused and created and added to any issue in your life, an anger issue that we're talking about here. But so often it can be the father-son, the stepfather-son, the male-to-male lineage. But we learn that we're not so welcome, and it can be unpredictable, because one day your parent can be in good form and then singing, dancing, having fun with them, being a bit loud, being a bit boisterous is fully allowed. They might even laugh along with it. And then the next day, you're taken down a peg. Your wings are cut. Your expression is cut. And we feel anger. We felt anger. You were feeling anger at this moment. If you have tapped back into that feeling, maybe you have memories of it, where you... there was confusion. It was like there was an anger. It was like, you know, like, do you ever have, like, if you remember, temper tantrums? I know our kids have had them at moments. It can be quite challenging as a parent. All in all, the end result can be, because we haven't been educated in the education system by our parents, etc., etc., to emotionally own anger, and it can be shamed. The more, as boys, we end up repressing, suppressing the anger, and the less we're able to defend our boundaries, the less we're able to speak our mind, our truth, and say, hey, I disagree with that. You know, like, as a 4, 5, 6 year old, I disagree with that. We mightn't have the words to articulate it, but, like, the parent, the trump card, as being, like, the physically stronger, taller, you know, louder voice, etc., they tend to win out. They tend to win out. This is the thing. We decrease our action taking. We sort of end up, you know, fitting within the box of the approved behaviors. And I want to talk, I actually did the nice guy. I went very much within the approved behaviors approach. You might have been a bit more rebellious. You might have remained true. And I honor you for remaining true to that rebellious nature of saying no, of testing the limits. But there's another layer of shame that can end up being put on top of that, which is you end up being the one, you're the bold boy. You're the bold boy at home. You're the one that they can't control. Then you go to school and you're the disruptive behavioural child that just won't sit down and play the sit down, shut up, be quiet, do what I say sort of role. You're the one that actually just follows that energy, that warrior energy, and just does whatever you want. And you're constantly testing the boundaries of others because you sort of from an early age tapped into, like, sort of, fuck the world. If you overstep my boundaries, I'm going to test your boundaries, and you go on the offensive. So I honor that energy in you. You know, in a society that, you know, to become a civilized person and man in society, it's actually learning the rules of how to fit in and what's appropriate. If you've been that rebel with a cause or even without a cause from a younger age, I honor you for that. That's a beautiful power that you have sort of honored in your expression. And if you have experienced some destructive nature of that, you know, there's not going to be any shame putting you within Kings of Freedom. So that's sort of the mechanism of what happens as children growing up, babies growing into younger children, growing into teenagers. It's when our emotional boundaries, physical boundaries, are repeatedly in ways infringed on. Here's the thing, the caveat here is, you might have very direct, dramatic memories where this is really fucking clear. You might have experienced dramatic infringements of your boundaries along the lines of emotional abuse, verbal abuse, physical abuse. Can be physical abuse to the point of sexual abuse, where, you know, you had to suppress anger to learn to digest it and come out as safely and survive. It was a survival protective mode as we are as children. You know, it might be very dramatic for you and very, you have memories of that, and I honour that. I also want to address guys that might have experienced a bit more like myself. I didn't experience, and no right or wrong here, I'm not better as a result of it, I'm not worse as a result of it, you know, like, when I was looking back at my childhood, like, growing up, I thought I had like an idyllic childhood, and in many ways I'm so fortunate for the childhood that I had. I'm very grateful and appreciative of my parents and the childhood that was gifted to me. Have any of this dramatic abuse, dramatic, I wasn't hit, I wasn't like verbally abused. My mother, like, from an early age, she decided, like, I think she slapped my older brothers once, and the handmark remained, you know, for half an hour later when she was given the bat, and she swore from that day on she was never going to hit them. She felt so bad. So, you know, I didn't experience these dramatic things, but it was just this incessant level of overstepping of the boundary that sort of just wore away my sense of identity. That was just like these constant distinctions of being a good boy and that was a bad boy, etc., etc. So I invite you in, if you don't have these dramatic boundary infringements and memories of them, I invite you to look at, maybe you don't have these dramatic memories, but maybe it was more those incessant, small, they were perceptible at the time, but maybe they seem imperceptible when you look back. I invite you to look and just see that they were happening. They were happening. So that's enough said on the mechanism, what happens in our younger days that sets in motion this, you know, we've been experiencing this anger, this sort of, we've sampled and experimented with, no, you know, as the younger child, and how that was welcomed, was that welcomed, were we safe to do so? If we weren't, over a long period of time, we end up suppressing the anger, repressing the anger inside of ourselves. And this taps into, there's sort of two, it's a caricature, but there's two paths where we can react with this. The path that I more went with, and there's no right or wrong with which path you, I say, choose, but subconsciously your psyche, your nervous system chose the one strategy, the one path of expressing your anger that served you best to survive and get beyond those early childhood years and get into adulthood. So there again, no right or wrong here, no shame, no better or worse for any expression. Just trust that your psyche just landed on the strategy that was, in the absence of any mentor, of any training, of any, you know, inner work at the time, it chose the best strategy for you. So just, I honor you for that, and I invite you to self-love yourself and accept that no matter how it's showing up for in your life now, and, you know, there might be, as I said in the beginning, there might be effects that are less than ideal, and you consciously, the reason you're listening in today is you have a conscious part of you that wants to be able to digest it and communicate it more consciously. That's wonderful. But it's just to, you know, just honor that inner child, the strategies that the inner child in you, the boy in you, chose and took on board to get beyond those childhood experiences. I invite you to honor that boy, to love that boy and accept that boy and the wonderful, miraculous nature of how that boy in you found a strategy that worked for you. Okay. the two paths, the one path that I link in with more is the sort of victim role. You know, it's like the nice guy. I wasn't really the victim in the corner, quiet, suppressed victim, but it's a victim role I took on. I more put the facade on it of the nice guy. You know, I wouldn't get angry. I actually really judgmental of other people. A brother of mine sort of took more the dominant role as he his inner child digested pretty much very similar, obviously very similar environment growing up in the same household. I was very judgmental. You know, I was the nice guy. I was the guy that was nice all the time. But there was a victim part in it because I wasn't expressing the anger. And I was sort of saying yes to so many people, so many situations that I had an inner no. I had an anger. I had a no that was there. It was like, no, I don't want to do that. Or no, that's not actually okay by me. But like with the guy in the football field, I was feeling no, but I wasn't expressing it until I would explode. So, and that was part of this sort of victim role. It's like what in shadow work, they would call it the deflated shadow. It's the deflated warrior shadow. It's the warrior energy. Just tapping back in, it's like this is all about the warrior archetype. There's the king archetype, warrior archetype, and there's many different masculine archetypes. This is predominantly dealing with the warrior archetype. It's that part of us that, you know, it's like it's the core part of our masculine core. The warrior archetype is just, it's a masculine expression. So when we end up repressing this, one of the paths is this victim mode. And I ended up, I think when I look back, my path to developing this was more from, you know, my dad was away working as a policeman, a guard in the Irish policing system, and predominantly I was sort of reared in the presence of my mother, an amazing woman, so loving, so committed, so sort of like old style but in a beautiful way, self-sacrificing for the needs of her family. There was four kids, not a lot of money in the ground, so an amazing job that she did. But from wounds that she would have experienced growing up, she actually and her family would have experienced a lot of deeply unconscious anger unloaded on them by her dad growing up. So like a part of her, maybe you can your family tree lineage story can you can relate with this. My mother's dad was a great man during the day. My mother always said he'd give you the shirt off his back, you know, during the day, that type of a guy. But nighttime is when the inner demons came out, and the inner demons came out after many pints and many spirits, and coming home from the pub, there was like very, very dramatic expressions of uncontrolled, unpredictable, aggressive outbursts. The details of which I sort of think my mother will bring them to the grave, and that's okay too. But sort of there's certain comments that she has come out with that, you know, she went to the fields at night. At times, with all her siblings, you know, in the middle of winter, in their pajamas outside. And if you had to go outside in the middle of winter in sub-zero temperatures to be safe, you know, there was a lot of aggression there being unloaded. So as a result, what happened, and, you know, with a beautiful smile on her face, has been such a positive influence in my life. And she learned to deal with this by being positive all the time. There were no negative emotions that were sort of allowed. You know, it's like positive, positive, positive. You know, it's a happy family. And like, why are you upset? You know, like, and effectively, I put the words now, is like my expression of anger was shamed unwittingly by loving intentions and full understanding of her upbringing, why she might have done this. Like, you know, negative anger would have been a very triggering emotion for her to experience. So I can understand it. But, you know, I can understand it now as a 37-year-old, 4, 5, 6, 6-year-old, unable to express anger, unable to just allow this pissed off energy just express and go, ah, you know, like have a temper tantrum, but just be allowed to express that through me. It wasn't allowed. So I ended up learning to repress and to suppress that expression because it sort of didn't gain any favor or approval from the female predominant presence in my life. So yeah, that was part of it for myself. And you know, my dad was at work. Maybe in your story growing up, if you're more linking in alignment with this, sometimes it can be the absent father via work, traveling a lot, or the absent father, your father, maybe your father passed away, your father moved on. There was just an absent masculine or more male present there. So that sometimes we never learned how to be a man. We never learned how to be allowed to express that anger, that aggressive core warrior energy in us. So as a result, we learn to suppress it. And in the suppression of it, what can end up happening, and it happened with myself, was I'd suppress it, and I'd have sort of like this, well, I put a happy face on it. But sometimes with guys, I know, coaching guys, talking with guys around the world, maybe it's not the happy, nice guy. Maybe it's the sort of just the sullen guy, the quiet guy. Maybe it's a role of the sort of can be clinically depressed guy, but just the emotionless guy. You know, that your protective zone is just being emotionless. You're having the experience in the inside. You might even repress it, suppress it to the point at which you don't even think you're having an anger experience, but it's only because it's so sunk down that you've suppressed a warrior to such a point that you camp out almost exclusively in your magician, your rational mind. You rationalize everything. And I know I resonate with that, like to the point in which I could minimize and normalize so many things that were happening to me, to the point in which I wasn't even feeling it anymore. But it's not that the feelings aren't there, that the emotions aren't there. It's just they're so locked down deep. But what happens when we lock things down in shadow work, you know, what's locked into shadow and suppressed into the back realms of our mind, shadow will force itself into expression. Thank God it will, because that's where the healing comes and the hero's journey comes, when the shadow forces itself into expression. But there's a switching of polarities almost, where the quiet, sullen man in the background, or the nice guy me that sort of learned to be an extrovert and be nice to the world, the pleasing guy, ugh, if I think of it, but anyway, no shaming, but it's just funny to think back. I'm really learning to go to the opposite of, well, to the healthy expression of, not the opposite, to the healthy expression, the integrated expression of it. But the switching polarities is nice, sullen, quiet, to boom. All of a sudden, the anger comes out. And this is where people around us are not really safe. The other part, and just slowing down, so that's the first part in the more victim role. Slow down to get a drink of water. The other part is, can be called in shadow work the bully part. But there again, it's like, it's a provocative term. You know, it's... I say it in a shame-free related word. It's a provocative word, but the bully sort of energy is one that's out to dominate. And, you know, no right or wrong here. Whatever expression you resonate with, you're honored and you're safe in this. But if your boundaries were encroached upon to such a level, maybe that dramatic way, maybe your dad, stepdad was so uncontrolled in their expression of anger, of aggression with you, with your family members growing up, possibly a reaction to survive was you learned to set intense boundaries with other people. That, you know, at home you didn't feel capable because you're the male in your life, and as I say, I might refer to the male, it could be the female presence. You didn't feel able as a young boy, you know, 2-year-old child, 5-year-old child, up to 8, 9, 10, and this can extend into adulthood. You know, the same field of fear can be there, where you end up playing the victim role to the perpetrator role of the angry father figure, angry male figure. But what can end up happening is, because that's happening at home, you go into school, and this shadow side, this repression and suppression that you have learned to do at home, just touch base and see, does this make sense for you and your sacred path as a man? Because you had to suppress and repress that emotion at home, you would experience worse anger against you at home if you expressed, you know, that sacred no and you said, fuck off, or you, like, you expressed that. You could have been bet more or more intensely emotionally abused at home. When you go into school and you go into society, then you're really triggerable by anybody that oversteps a boundary of yours. So you end up sort of taking on this hard outer shell. No right or wrong. It's a survival mechanism that served you well. So as I say, I honor that. But you learned to form this strategy of, like, nobody, I'm not going to take shit from anybody. And you, like, it's bigging it up. It's this strong warrior-like external. It's like you predominantly lean into the warrior archetype, where it's like boundaries, your sword, your fist, your anger, it's on tap. It's actually like the first wave is a tsunami type effect. You don't wait till, you know, you have 3, 4, 5 experiences with a person or a situation. It's just like, this is encroaching. Anger takes you over. Boom, you set a boundary. And it makes sense. And you learn to sort of protect that inner child part of you that was made feel so vulnerable, so exquisitely vulnerable within your upbringing, that nobody else was going to do this for you. Nobody else was going to make you feel so small, so disregarded, and so disrespected as was happening when you were growing up. So you form this thing in childhood, and then it sneakily just follows you in your adult psyche, adult body. And if you find yourself, you know, in relationship, at work, in society, triggered, where this tsunami, this volcanic, explosive anger, rage takes you over, you know, that can be the mechanism. And like road rage, you know, a stranger on the highway that just cuts you over, and then you're just there flailing out this abusive language, fucking him out of, like, fuck you, asshole. And somebody at work, or, you know, in a business dealing, you ever find it yourself that you end up getting into conflict because there's this part of you that just will not concede a millimeter to another person that you think are overstepping your boundaries in a way that's incorrect. And all of this is okay. You know, this is, I just want to slow down and keep this conversation like I had you in front of me. And of course, I can't have all of you in front of me, but like I have you in front of me, to just touch base with you again and again. None of this, if this hits home for you, none of this is a failure of yours. You know, the first part, the first step of inner healing, the first step of stepping into your power, the first step of being able to take radical responsibility, take your 100% responsibility, which that is the path of freedom. Kings of Freedom is about taking the king archetype, is about assuming 100% responsibility. It's a major step to take. It's a major load. It's a major commitment to take as a man, and discipline your life around that sort of an inner commitment. But that's what it's about. The first step of taking 100% responsibility is becoming aware. Becoming aware of where you come from is becoming aware of why these triggers, why your nervous system has learned to follow this strategy to protect your inner sense of self, your inner self-worth, your inner identity. This is okay, you know, so just touching back in, it's okay. There's no failure in this. But it's important. Without that awareness, you can't take the first step. One major thing at this part, when you take this outer expression where you're going to fucking nail other people and you're not going to be weak. You're the polar opposite of weak. You're fucking strong. You're hard. You're a warrior. There's no weakness in you. When this becomes an outward strategy, an inner strategy that forms an outward expression of anger, angry outbursts and intense boundary setting with other people, one of the most triggering things that can occur in this form of expression and dealing with anger issues is you can end up feeling an intense hatred of the perceived weakness in others. Just try that on for size. Slow down and see, does that sink home? Like a deep hatred, almost a repulsion when you perceive weakness in others. Do you ever find that, you know, you express, you might express an anger, you express frustration, and your child or your partner, your wife, colleague, friend, brother, whoever it is, could be even your dog goes cowering. Do you ever find that triggers you intensely? That it's almost like if you weren't so angry before you witnessed this victim type weak expression where the person cowers away, their voice goes down to take on this victim role where they retreat away from you, and it's almost like they're sort of apologizing, and that triggers you intensely. This can be really confusing for guys, because that ends up can drive their anger insane. That they might have been okay, but it's when they perceive the weakness in the person in front of them, retreating away from them, there can be. It's very important to understand the mechanism of what's happening here. Number one, you can deep down subconsciously, maybe consciously, really intensely hate that it seems that you have become your dad, you have become your stepfather, you have become actually the perpetrator. And because your inner child, that sacred part of you, and I just want to bring your attention there, is such a pure, beautiful, magnificent, loving, heart-centered human being. That's who you are. That's what every man is, every man, woman, child is. Because you actually know that there's this beautiful, pure essence in you that you're just maybe struggling to know how to fucking express that beautiful essence in the world nobody ever taught you, that when you end up expressing unconsciously in an angry way, the first wave is expressed, this person goes into a weakness expression in front of you, it irritates you because it's like, that's not who I am, and like, Jesus, it's like this resistance and resentment that you are taking on this role and this person is the victim. And another layer off it is, and I know my beautiful queen Matilda, she expressed that she had her own journey with her mother. Her mother was really oppressive in the way she reprimanded Matilda growing up. So Matilda learned to really deeply suppress her anger in the most sensational manner imaginable. But this next mechanism Matilda has spoken to me intimately about is part of the deep irritation and triggering nature of seeing a loved one, seeing somebody on the outside cowering away, taking on this embodying weakness in the face of our expression, is that it's irritating because it's almost like we don't, a part of our psyche can really experience a lot of shame about the perception that we should have been stronger in the face of that abuse growing up. We should have fucking hit them. We should have taken action. We should have stepped up. You know, it wasn't just you that was experiencing the angry outburst. We should have stepped in and protected our mother. We should have stepped in and protected our little brother or our sister. You know, there can be this story in us that we should have been stronger. We should not have been so weak as to subdue ourselves and repress and suppress and take on the role when we were younger. So because that part of us, that part of our inner child, there's this healing hasn't happened, the subconscious story of really an intense judgment against, an intense feeling of inadequacy and shame when you look back, and it's on the subconscious mind looking back going, you should have done better, you should have been stronger. When we perceive that type of an energy with our kids, our goddess, our queen in front of us, we can have this feeling of almost like it's a sort of unusual expression of compassion. It's like, Jesus, just, we want to bring out, we want to incite, we want to invoke, provoke the warrior in them. It's almost like our anger is almost attempting. We're angry with them because we're like, Jesus, just don't go there. Don't go to that weak spot. It's like your life is going to hammer you if you go too weak. If you pretend that the weak thing, that playing the weak victim role is going to protect you, you've got another thing coming. So it's almost this subconscious, loving, compassionate part of us, not in a very healthy expression, of course. Not wrong, but just not so healthy because it's creating an unsafe in the others. But there's this subconscious part of us that almost wants to provoke them into fucking standing up. So I'll get angry with you. Why are you weak? Stand up. You know, stand up, speak. But like, they're in a double bind where they're clearly not safe and feeling safe around you. And here you are sort of saying, well, stand up, stand in your power, speak clearly, answer me back. The child or your partner knows, well, like, Jesus, if I answer back, I'm not safe already. But it's just to tap back into, there's a reason behind every emotional expression, every psychological strategy that we take on as human beings. There's a reason there. Just slowing down for a moment and slowing down myself, but slowing down you, if that touches home for you. You know, does weakness in others, does it irritate you a lot? Could there be something there for you? Do you find yourself exploding on people, setting these warrior-like front, strong boundaries, hard, you're hardened in the front, because you just don't ever want to be made feel like you were repeatedly made feel as a young, as a baby, as a young boy growing up, in ways that just were inappropriate. But you can't go back there. But have you taken on that strategy and just slowing down? And maybe you associate with the first role, with the sort of nice guy, ever so pleasing the world. You never express anger, but it's sort of bubbling away in the background. And the anger becomes more a resentment of the world, what the world is not giving you. But because you're taking on the pleasing role and you're trying never to express anger, the world isn't giving you what you want because you're not telling the world what you don't want. You know, you can't get from the world what you want until you can consciously express to the world what you don't want, which is channeled by the emotion of anger. We're going to do a little bit of a wrap up now. Coming into landing. I want to honor you as always. I deeply appreciate your presence. I want to speak to one thing, guys. I appreciate your commitment to your inner growth. As of yet, you know, the vision of Kings of Freedom going forward is to have like a rapid expansion of reaching out to guys and empowering men under individual journey and the collective conscious growth of conscious masculinity around the planet. But as of yet, there's not many men. The numbers are increasing for sure, of many different beautiful movements by men around the world, but not many men are doing this work yet. You know, you mightn't have you know, even on the topic, you mightn't have elders in your community. You mightn't have your dad that you can go to. Part of the reason why you might be so linked in with this episode is because your dad just isn't available to you, or your stepdad. So it can seem quite lonely and alienating, and it's because of that, because of maybe not having that support. If you do have that support, wonderful, I'm happy for you. But it can seem quite a lonely journey. And in a culture where we lone wolf as men, we take it all on our own shoulders. I want to honour you for actually listening in today. If it's a return journey to Kings of Freedom podcast, I'm honoured and it's a privilege. And if it's your first time listening in, it's an honour and a privilege to have been able to gift my message and whatever. I hope it's wisdom that's flowing through me, and I really, it's my deepest intention that it serves you. But I want to honour you for making this time for you. I want to honour you for doing taking kingly action in opening your nervous system up, opening your emotional system, your psyche up to your windows of opportunity, windows of growth, of healing, doors that you can step through, that when you go beyond, you know, some part of your psyche, some part of your mind can go, ah, okay, can relax into, there might be more here, that you empower yourself by listening in to be kinder with yourself, to start understanding the reason and the mechanism as to why it is that you show up the way that you show up. And of course, it's not right or wrong. It's not ideal, unconscious, dramatic outward expression of anger that makes the emotional experience of other people in our lives unsafe. I'm putting my hand up here, literally, physically, as I speak, and energetically in front of you. You know, I've experienced that. I have experienced that in my loved ones around me. I'm so fortunate. I'm leading by leading and doing my inner work, but I'm so fortunate that well, Matilda, she did put marriage ultimatums in front of me as a result of this. But I'm so grateful and appreciative that, you know, I've lived to come out the far side to tell the tale with my marriage intact. It's never been better. It's actually beautiful. It's amazing. And it's beautiful and amazing. And I want to express this to just build a bridge to episode 2 of How to Own and Express Anger, the Conscious Kingly Way. You know, next week's podcast episode, it's going to be doing a deep dive into solutions, into conscious strategies of being able to deal with this, being able to go beyond this, not to have to suppress it anymore, not to have to express anger, but have it expressed in a destructive way. No, to be able as a man to, in a grounded, loving, confident manner, be able to express this anger at the first wave off it in a way that actually deepens trust in your intimate relationships, deepens trust in your parenting, deepens trust because you're able to consciously express it so eloquently with practice. But you know, you then have the map. Next week is about introducing the map. So you have a map of the territory, so you know where to take the next step going forward. That's so crucial, and it's so important at the end of here just to say that. That's the carrot and stick. It's a two-part series. There's a lot in it. But next week is about just getting that roadmap so you can know how you can deal with this, how you can start that inner healing, and how you can start learning. You know, maybe healing, sometimes guys are like, oh, yeah. It's not to suggest there's something wrong with you or something needs fixing. No. Maybe learning, just reconnecting with that warrior energy in you, your allowance, your permission to channel that. And in doing that, you can learn to do it in a way that is safe for those around you. One of the most revelatory experiences for me has been learning that I can express anger at a moment's notice with my queen, with my kids, with pretty much immediate effect. It's like, oh, yeah, it's interesting. I'm just feeling like a wave of anger in me now. I just want to express that into the space. I'll go into all the other details next week. But it actually makes it safe for Matilda, for my queen, for my kids, for people around me. If you were in my presence, if you tread unwittingly across what I perceive to be a boundary of me, now my practice is, you'll know within like 1 second of me recognizing, that's anger. I will express it immediately. And that creates radical honesty and it creates trust. So that's the carrot and stick for next week. Circle back for the juicy stuff. This was juicy stuff this week. It's very, very important to understand the mechanism and the two categories of how we can react to childhood experiences. But next week is really just getting our grounds down into the juicy stuff of finding solutions. And I know as men, we like to just have the empowered, well, what's the fucking strategy? So I honour your attention, your patience for the deep dive today. And I hope to see you back next week. It'll be of epic import and epic service in your life if the expression of anger has been an issue for you. With deep bows and big love, brothers, have a beautiful day. We'll talk to you next week. Take care.